Arizona Science is supported by Research Corporation for Science Advancement.
For AZPM, I'm Tim Swindle, Professor Emeritus of Planetary Science at the University of Arizona, and this is Arizona Science. Joining me today is Diane Thompson, an Associate Professor of Geosciences at the University who has been studying coral reefs to unlock the details of Earth's climate history. Welcome, Diane.
Thanks for having me.
How can you use coral reefs to study climate?
That's a great question. Well, here in Arizona, you're probably familiar with the Laboratory of Tree Ring Research. Well, it turns out corals are very similar in that they grow in these annual bands that we can actually see by eye. And those bands actually contain information about the ocean conditions at the time the coral is growing. So you might remember the last time you've walked on a beach and picked up a shell off the beach. Well, that shell, just like coral, is made out of a mineral called calcium carbonate. Then those building blocks contain information in the atoms of that molecule about the seawater conditions, the chemistry of the water around it as the coral was growing. So inadvertently, as they're building their skeleton, just like that shell on the beach, they're actually incorporating information about climate conditions around them.
What kind of information are they incorporating? What are the things that you can measure?
Yeah, so one of the big ones we actually looked at in the study is something we call water isotopes. And so this is just a way of looking at, again, the chemistry of seawater. And it tells us something about hydroclimate, so the water cycle. And that's a really important target for understanding how climate change is impacting what we really care about, especially a place like here in the Southwest, which is water and water availability. And so in these atoms of oxygen and hydrogen that make up the water molecule, sometimes there's an extra neutron that changes that molecular weight. And in that, that provides a fingerprint, a signature, a chemical signature, if you will, that we can use to understand changes in the water cycle in the past.
You compared coral to tree rings. You said that they're annual growth layers. Now, coral is actually, a reef is made up of a bunch of single animals. Are the annual growth rings, is that like one animal wide, or is it a million, or?
Great question. So many corals and the types that we use for this type of work are colonial organisms. So they do have individual animals that grow together in these large colonies. And together they create these big, massive, it's sometimes as big as, like, imagine a VW bus size colonies that then we take these cores out of. And so those growth bands that I'm referring to are actually coming from this colonial organism. So not these individual animals, but this colony of individual organisms that live together on the reef. The organism itself just lives on the very, very surface of the reef, and underneath it is that history book. And so this is why we call corals and trees and other types of records like this natural historians, because they are in that skeleton that it leaves behind as it grows to the water column. Just like the history book in the library, they're recording information about the ocean conditions that were hundreds or even, you know, depending on how old the coral is, you know, thousands of years in the past.
Have there been surprises in the things that you have found out in your studies?
Yeah, so one of the big surprises for this study was, you know, we really understand really well from these nature's historians, from trees, from corals, from ice cores we haven't talked about yet, other types of records, how temperatures have varied on the last few thousand or even hundreds of thousands of years. But the water cycle is harder to pin down. You can imagine, thinking about the weather on a day-to-day basis, whether it's going to rain or not is highly dynamic. It's a very chaotic system, right? It might even rain in one part of Tucson and not a couple blocks down the road, right? So understanding changes in the water cycle with climate change is much more complicated. And so what's really exciting about this particular study that we're talking about today is they were able to, for the first time, bring together my coral records, my colleagues' coral records, along with other types of these natural archives, so tree rings, lake sediments, marine sediments, and ice cores, and basically show that the water cycle responds very quickly to any changes in global temperature. And this is something that's been shown for the first time in our work.
Thanks for coming in, Diane.
Yeah.
And good luck with your research.
Thank you.
Our guest today has been Diane Thompson, an expert in corals. This is Tim Swindle, and you have been listening to Arizona Science. You can also listen to this and other Arizona Science segments by going to the AZPM website at azpm.org.
Thank you to Research Corporation for Science Advancement for their support of Arizona Science.